Chapter 7, Breathing and Stress. In an earlier chapter, I made a distinction between acute and chronic stress. In terms of breathing, the acute response involves hyperventilation or overbreathing. The chronic response involves holding the breath and underbreathing. Let's look at the acute response first. Hyperventilating is a natural part of the stress response, but if it goes on for too long, it disturbs the relative proportions of oxygen and carbon dioxide in the blood. This makes the blood more alkaline, constricting blood vessels to the brain and upsetting the normal function of the nervous system. In extreme anxiety or a panic attack, the person feels he can't breathe and is about to faint. This all feels dreadful, a true body crisis, and it is potentially life-threatening for people who suffer from asthma, allergies, or cardiovascular disease. This kind of hyperventilation usually resolves automatically within seconds or minutes, but the experience can be terrifying. People who suffer these kinds of attacks know they are usually preceded by a state of persistent high anxiety. The chronic response is quite different, but we can see how it is related. A stress response stimulates a huge increase in the breathing rate, the heart rate, and the blood pressure all at once. This natural hyperventilation is what a zebra goes into when it sees an approaching lion. In this preparatory stage, he takes big, rapid in-breaths, massively expanding his lungs, but not breathing out much. When he runs, however, he takes both big in-breaths and big out-breaths. His lungs are working fully as they were intended to. When we humans are stressed, we usually can't run it off, but nor do we continue over-breathing. Instead, we hold the preparatory set, ready to run, just in case. We take short, grabby in-breaths. We hold the breath in rather than releasing it. You might notice that holding your breath in gives you the capacity to respond instantly to a threat if you needed to. This is why you do it. If you chose to let the breath go completely, you would lose that edge. When we are chronically tense, our respiratory muscles tighten up isometrically. They lock in position and burn a lot of energy with little movement to show for it. This is how the chronic stress response, the state of mild over-arousal, results in a holding of the breath and a consequent underbreathing. Unless we suffer panic attacks or have asthma, we usually don't notice our breathing is restricted much of the time. We can get through the day with no obvious side effects. It is not painful in the way that muscle tension is. However, the long-term effects of poor breathing can be quite drastic. People who are tense or aging typically expel air from the lungs less and less efficiently. This leads to a pooling of moist air in the lungs, inhibiting the uptake of oxygen, and damaging the delicate alveoli where the gas exchange occurs. These damp, stagnant conditions are ideal breeding grounds for respiratory infections. Furthermore, habitual tension accelerates our natural loss of lung capacity as we age. Over time, we breathe more and more from the upper chest and gradually lose the lower part of our breathing mechanism completely. When stressed, our breathing becomes tight, jerky, and fast. We breathe from the chest rather than lower down. We hold the breath in, so the in-breath is longer than the out-breath. The muscles that line the airways tighten and compromise the breath flow. In severe stress, the mucus layer of the throat can thicken due to histamine secretions and make breathing even more difficult. Fortunately, the breath, even more so than our usual muscular tension, is within our voluntary control. When stressed, we can easily use the breath to initiate the relaxation response and turn the body back towards a state of balance. Yoga practitioners regard good breathing as the key to health and longevity, and they're probably not far wrong. So, how does meditation help? Just to be aware of your breathing tends to relax it. If you notice you're holding your breath, you don't need to do a formal meditation exercise. You just let it go. It happens naturally. Of course, you still need to focus on the body to be aware that you're holding the breath for this to happen. If you don't notice it, the tension will stay. Relaxation is ultimately about letting go control. Nonetheless, controlled breathing techniques can still be useful, particularly at the beginning, to break the lock of tight breathing. These techniques include sighing, deep breaths, and full breaths. To many people, these all seem much the same, but it is worth distinguishing them. Two or three big open-mouthed sighs with a yawn thrown in for good measure can spectacularly relax the face, the shoulders, and the whole apparatus of breathing in just a few seconds. Sighing is all about breaking the muscular lock and letting go control. I encourage my students to do three sighs frequently during the day as a deliberate spot meditation, particularly when they walk. Alternatively, a few big, slow, controlled breaths, lengthening the out-breath, can slow the mind down, lower the metabolic rate a few notches, and shift the body back towards balance. This alone could be enough to stop a panic attack. Another approach is to breathe deeply, which is different again. Sighs and controlled breathing go up and down the body. In contrast, deep breathing works the abdomen at the expense of the chest. It is an out-in breath rather than an up-down breath. It develops that low part of the breathing mechanism that is underused when we are tense and which we tend to lose incrementally as we age. In a longer meditation, you usually don't try to control the breath. Relaxation is all about loosening up and letting the body return to balance in its own way. Some people try to breathe slowly and deeply, but this can interfere with the more fluid rhythms of natural breathing. If you examine how you breathe when you are relaxed, it is often not what you expect it to be. Relaxed breathing, like a healthy heartbeat, tends to be quite variable. The breaths feel rhythmic and flowing, but they won't be that regular. Each breath is likely to be a little shorter or longer than the previous one. You may have the odd sigh or little catch-up breath, and there may be an occasional pause at the end of the out-breath. What most surprises people is how little they seem to breathe, but the reason for this is obvious. You don't need as much oxygen when your body and mind are still, so you don't need to breathe that much. Relaxed breathing is soft and gentle, and its massaging effect on the body can feel very luxurious indeed. You don't have to make the breathing relax. Just observing it will be quite enough, both during a meditation and at any time during the day.